Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers.
He's Odell Beckham. He's Ja'Marr Chase. He's Jalen Waddle. He's just a nightmare to defend because he's that explosive. And sometimes it is that easy. 4.35 speed, 42-inch vertical. Those are both 95th percentile. According to PFF, his tracking numbers from inside the game, 99th percentile game speed. When I watched him, it took me about four routes to realize that we're dealing with a very rare prospect. I would say he's worthy of a top five overall selection. And I would understand why some teams would prefer him over Marvin Harrison Jr. They just win in totally different ways.
6 foot, 199 pounds. And as you said, in one word, explosive. I mean, when I watch him, it looks like he is always running downhill. Like whatever side of the field he's running his route on, there's just a slanted slope downhill because of just the ability that he has to chew up ground or just be faster than his opponents. Just quickly, some stats that matter. You know the raw ones. This past season, 89 receptions, over 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns. But digging beneath the surface, he broke a tackle once every three receptions, which is scary considering his average depth of target, just how far he was when the pass got to him, was 12 yards down the field. He had the fourth most missed tackles forced in this draft class, but none of the others above him had an A dot beyond 8 yards. Second most first downs gained on receptions, only behind the great Rome Odunze in this class as well.
He's a total freak just because the slant routes, in breaking routes, if he has one step, he can take it the entire distance. Yeah, it was the highest rate of missed tackles per catch. And the other guys, like you said, are the little screen guys. He absolutely is not just that. He's also 20 years old. So I think we're going to see even more development from him. He was fantastic in the fade and go route game as well. He's a very versatile player, lined up inside on 54% of the snaps, outside on 46% of them. When he was at the NFL Combine fielding questions, he said that what he wants from a team, where he wants to go, is a team that's going to move him around the formation. I think it's because he had a lot of room to operate in this LSU spread offense, both down the field and underneath, from inside and from outside. So he's going to be able to fit every single offense. He's going to be able to win from the inside and the outside. And really, his entire game mostly is this just pure athleticism.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine with me. I don't really care if there's other players that have more route running prowess at this point of his game, just because he is only 20 years old.
41% of his plays over the last two seasons went for 15 plus yards. I mean, that's bananas stuff. And let's really dig into maybe some of the nuances of his game that we absolutely love. He obviously, when facing a cushion or off coverage, it must be terrifying to be a cornerback because one, just how quickly he chews up ground in front of you. And then he can break in four different directions just so quickly. And then in his first couple steps after that, he's back up to full speed. I mean, I think that what we also saw against like 2022, I think it was Florida and Tennessee, where they did try Auburn as well. They tried to like get in his grill and cover him. There was one rep against the Tennessee Vols on 3rd and 10. He's isolated to one side of the field. The corner has inside leverage. And by his fourth step, he takes that jab to the outside. It forces the corner to lose his positioning advantage. Again, on 3rd and 10, he perfectly runs his in-breaking route 11 yards down the field, catches it, and falls forward for another four. So while, yes, he consistently did get away with pure athleticism on the hitches and the goes and the straight line vertical routes that LSU did deploy him on, I did see a lot of good route running nuance and detail to his game that you might not see of other freakazoid athletes out there.
Completely agree. Could change with tempo. Elite body control. That's at the catch point. That's up in the air after he catches the pass. One of the reasons why he's avoiding all these tackles is not just the speed. He can actually absorb a hit from a defender out in space and keep on going. So that body control really helps him out. I'm with you on these hitch routes where they where you'd have some off coverage. He would stop on a dime and absolutely burst up field before you even know it. So I do think that he will develop a complete diverse route tree. The one time if we're going to nitpick with anything, I do think that there's sometimes at his releases where he could get bodied up a little bit because he is 6'1", 199, but I'm really, that's not going to be an issue, especially if he's being moved across the formation, especially as he develops even better tools in his toolbox. So yeah, I watched him and immediately you just get Odell Beckham vibes. You get Ja'Marr Chase vibes, not just the LSU jersey. It, basically the same exact height, weight, speed, vertical ability, obviously at LSU, the production, the how young he is, all of this stuff is completely elite. 99th percentile when I put him in my prospect model, his age adjusted production, 97th percentile. He's doing that against the best competition there is. So this is a layup, and it really just your preference. Do you want the size and Marvin Harrison Jr., or do you just want the freakazoid athlete? And I think that's just going to be a team by team basis.
Yeah. By the way, we'll have a Marvin Harrison Jr. video and profile on this channel. So hit that subscribe button, because actually their explosive plays over the last two seasons are very similar in terms of 15 plus yard gains. However, how they produce them, mm-hmm. very, very different. Again, just want to dive into some more maybe numbers here. Our buddy Brett Coleman had a great one. 60% of Malik Nabers' yards this past season and 10 of his 14 touchdowns were from the slot. Okay. Like we've talked about it. He can be an outside and he can be an inside guy, and that can really help in two and three wide receiver sets. He's going to be on the field at all times, obviously in the NFL, but nearly 30% of his total yards and 9 of 14 touchdowns were on slot fades purely. And if you dig even more, 58 of his 109 targets in 2023 were either hitches or goes. So he kind of did work on that straight line plane and either stopped or worked vertically. And again, as we talked about in the Jaden Daniels video, there wasn't a ton of middle of the field work in that offense. You can weigh it for a whole bunch of reasons. But I do feel like when we get more middle of the field work from Malik Nabers in the NFL, you're actually going to see even more yards after mm-hmm. catch opportunities and more of this physicalness after the catch, and how he also rarely loses momentum when catching the football and then turns up the field to create these explosive gains. You can see those numbers go up once mm-hmm. he gets into the league.
Yeah, remember like rookie year Ja'Marr Chase, he was winning down the field repeatedly. That's kind of how Malik Nabers looked on tape. But then if you look at Odell Beckham, when he was in the pros, he would just take those slant routes, his crossing routes, his over routes, and absolutely just cook people all the way down the field yards after the catch. Why? So I'm completely with you. Was there any like type of negatives you saw with Malik Nabers? I mean, we're completely nitpicking here. Obviously, we both love this guy, but there's also so two other receivers that are going to go top 10 as well.
I definitely saw highlight reel, leave the ground, go up and get it, tight coverage, contested catch mm-hmm. moments. But I also ask myself, can he be one of the best in the league in contested catch situations?
Right.
No, he's not going to be. But still, like, that's totally fine. Some of that is his frame, you know? Some of that is just his height, his length, all of it. And that's probably my only thing, because the rest can be among the top 10 in the league in terms of his 1 to 2 step acceleration and maybe yards after catch capabilities too.
Yeah, I saw the same exact thing there, but this is a perfect time for him to come into the NFL with all of the motion that we're seeing, with all the inside outside versatility. This is a perfect, like all this like schemed up touches. We didn't really see that in this offense. He can get all of those free completions and yards after the catch stuff at the NFL. And that's what made this, like his production profile so crazy to me, is like, none of this was fake. I mean, this were tough routes. Like trying to win on a slot fade down the field is not an easy thing to pull off. And same thing with these little hitch routes, to be able to stop on a dime turn and still be get all those yards after the catch stuff. Really impressive stuff. So I think that we'll see even freer completions to Malik Nabers. So yeah, I think he's going to go out there as a rookie and just put on an absolute show. Like I know on Underdog, Best Ball, he's like already a third round pick. I think that's totally justified depending on the landing spot. I think that he is like as pro ready as they get.
As you said, just 14 screen catches this past season. And that even makes his missed tackles force numbers look even better on top of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was watching this, I was just thinking, and obviously he's not going to the Miami Dolphins, but what if Mike McDaniel had this dude in terms of his speed motions and his fly motions, right? Because we've talked about how he can create separation on his own and the acceleration on top of that if you can't get a hand on him. Well, now in the league, again, with these full speed motions at the snap, they can create natural space and natural separation for him. So when I look at and project him, he can definitely be like your primary stationary wide receiver if you want him to. But on the best team and in his best role, he would probably be that flanker movement, sometimes in the slot dude, again, that you can create this natural leverage and separation for. And with that cushion, that's going to be dangerous, again, for whatever cornerback is going to have to face him and really figure out what to do with him 5 yards down the field when you can't even contact him after that.
I mean, if you're backpedaling and he's coming off that cheap motion, I would just backpedal straight to the sideline because he's already going to be in the end. So there's no
point. I have an interesting comparison for you. I liked all the ones that you brought up.
Okay.
He's kind of like a Jetpack Ayuk to me a little bit.
Okay.
The same exact size in terms of 6 foot, 200-ish pounds. Ayuk did run a 4.5 40 at his NFL combine, but he had to have core muscle surgery after that.
He plays faster than that, right, for sure.
I also think Ayuk, if the difference is here, is Ayuk is better contested. I think he has the wingspan of a much larger wide receiver, right? And I also think that Brandon Ayuk is maybe one of the more underrated yards after catch players in the league too. I mean, just go back to his second season. He was 10th in the league in yards after catch per reception. And that was also with an ADOT 10 plus yards down the field. And then the other aspect is they both caught passes from Jaden Daniels in college.
That is true, which is maybe a concern for Jaden though. So make sure you go watch that video. And as a reminder, guys, he's 20 years old on draft night. Right. 20. He's one of the youngest players in the entire draft. So all these freaky numbers that we're talking about, any negative that we can possibly think of, it's all going to be fixed very, very, very shortly. So, was one of my favorite players to watch over like the last 5 years for me.
This is Georgia wide receiver
Ladd McConkey.
And don't do it. I know you want to comp him to that little white slot wide receiver. Ladd McConkey could play on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Shows up with 4.39 speed, 90th percentile agility. And for my money, I think that he is one of the best wide receivers exploding out of his breaks on in routes, out routes, and obviously can work down the field. You'll see him in motion. You'll see him used all over the place. Yes, he will kick inside the slot. But to me, we should view him as an outside wide receiver, somebody that can win downfield as well.
5'11 and a half, 186 pounds. The dude posted a 4.39 40, which is the 86th percentile among draft prospects. His vertical and broad jumps were both above or average, if you want to put it that way. When I watch him, man, McConkey, there's zero fat to his game. You know, his movements are so intentional. When you watch him in his routes, like the separation at the top off the break is so nice. It's an animated cut with, you know, zero wasted movement. If there is someone in the direction he has to get to on an outside breaking route, he's so savvy with like this arm pull through that then he displaces them and gets to that spot. I think his route pacing and speed, he's not like constantly jamming the turbo button, again, changing the gears in his routes, to me really, really speaks to his understanding of the wide receiver position right now.
And he'll catch some of these corners not anticipating how fast he is. You'll see that on double moves on occasion where he'll score a long touchdown. There'll be some times where he'll stop after the catch, turn around, run the other way, and absolutely beat the angles that these DBs are chasing him down. I see the same thing with you. He runs with tempo on the outside in his route running, but if he wants to, when he's running out of full speed right at a corner that's in off coverage, he is terrifying to guard. I see him win on outbreaking routes against outside leverage. I've seen him win on inbreaking routes against inside leverage because he can manipulate these guys back and forth. So yeah, he played 79% of his snaps on the outside, and I think that he can win that. For right now, people are kind of scared of Ladd McConkey, especially in dynasty drafts, because the production was low end. So I wanted to get to that real quick. For me, 22nd percentile age adjusted production. He's a fourth year player, a little bit older, but the couple caveats there. Obviously, Georgia, they're not passing the ball a ton because the offense they're in, he has this guy named Brock Bowers that he's competing with. He's had some minor injuries, nothing too major, but a couple minor injuries every single year. And if you look at it per routes, per target, he led college football last year in EPA per route, led everybody. And then he was number two in success rate per target. So whenever he needed to make a play, Ladd McConkey was absolutely able to do that. And I think that he's one of the craftiest wide receivers. And then when he'd show up running sub 4.4, that's why I think you can actually envision this guy potentially as a late round one grade.
119 total receptions in three seasons. As you put it, Brock Bowers was their primary pass catcher. Brock Bowers also had 30 screen targets in 2023. Compare that to Ladd McConkey. He had seven. In 2022, both had 21 screen targets, but Brock Bowers had 50 slot targets compared to Ladd McConkey's 25. Again, McConkey was not Georgia's slot guy. That was Lovett. That was Bowers. So to be honest with all of you, Ladd McConkey had to do the difficult stuff.
Yeah.
He was not fed the easy stuff. He had to run the legit big boy intermediate and downfield routes. And with that said, in 2023, 13 of his 30 catches went for 15 plus yards.
Wow.
20 of 59 the year before that. As you said, he is fifth in yards per route run in this entire class. So again, totally understand that his receiving numbers over the last three seasons, 478, 762, 447, that is not going to come close to some of the alphas that we have in this awesome wide receiver class. But again, when you whittle it down to when he was given opportunities, he totally shined in those areas. And Hayden, I actually think he's sneaky good after the catch, if you want to put it that way. Like, we've highlighted his athleticism, but if you look at his zone opportunities, he will catch it. And then when a defensive back is trying to close on his angle, he'll give them this outside dead leg, which then forces the defensive back to overrun it, then reach with an arm tackle. And frequently Ladd McConkey is running through that arm tackle to pick up an extra 3, 4, or 5 yards.
It sounds crazy, but the yards after the catch stuff kind of reminds me of like what Garrett Wilson was able to do. Now, Garrett Wilson's better at the catch point because he's maybe a little bit better of an athlete. But if you look at Garrett Wilson, Ladd McConkey, and then another guy, Chris Olave, if you just look at their height, weight, speed, and where they were used on the field, we're looking at very similar players. Obviously, those guys were more productive than Ladd McConkey is. I think they're both of those guys a little bit better at the catch point. If I'm looking for a flaw for Ladd McConkey, to me, it is a little bit of that smaller catch radius than some of the other guys that are working down the field. I think there's a couple times against press coverage he could be knocked off. The other part about this is when you're watching last year's tape, he was dealing with an ankle injury, especially in that Alabama game. So I think that you're gonna have to move him off the line of scrimmage. He's not gonna be an X wide receiver. No one's expecting to be slot, motion, bunch sets, flanker. All that stuff will kind of minimize some of these size issues that we have with Ladd McConkey. But we've seen a player like Chris Olave, he's basically used in the same exact way as Ladd McConkey. He can go round one. So that's why I'm not ruling out Ladd McConkey as a round one guy right now.
Yeah, I'm sure producer Waves has already thrown it up on the screen, but Chris Olave is my comparison. It's almost the exact same size. And when you look at college targeted passer rating against man versus zone coverage, Ladd McConkey and Chris Olave are right next to each other. Like they really do play a very, very similar game. It's almost like unassuming until you watch like drive in and drive out, and like they are the dudes. Mm-hmm. Like they are the guys. It's not overly animated like a Garrett Wilson can be, like a Stephon Diggs can be. And it's not like, oh man, there he is, such a explosive burner after the catch. Mm-hmm. Then there's just the complete package there. And hey, I think some people, either because of his skin tone or because of this production, people might like worry that this is a profile that might give them concerns if a player was like a below average athlete, but he's not. At worst, he's an average athlete. And in many ways, he's an above average athlete. He's a great athlete.
Right? Yeah, come on.
And so I don't think that this is his ceiling that he has reached either. Just more opportunities is going to extend his ceiling on top of that for me.
Yeah, I think, like you said, he's winning on the toughest routes. Hopefully in the NFL, he's going to kick inside, get a couple more easier routes. The two quick names, Tyler Lockett moved into the inside. Oh, yeah. And I think that he has a little bit of that. And then I think at worst, you can use him like Zay Flowers, who's even smaller and less athletic than Ladd McConkey, where you can kind of give him the free stuff. Then obviously he can win down the field as well.
I will say a huge difference that I saw in Zay Flowers' game versus Ladd McConkey's is Zay Flowers, when he catches the ball, he loves to square up to defenders and then win after the catch. Ladd McConkey has that JSN, Don Kincaid style of, I'm going to sit in this zone, catch the ball, spin with that momentum away from where the defensive back is. And again, in one movement, go and pick up some extra yards. Yep. And if you question at all his athleticism, go and watch routes that are developing 10 plus yards down the field. He is the fastest Georgia pass catcher doing any of them. And those are 5-star Georgia athletes that he is teammates with.
Yeah, I completely agree. So ultimately, he's my wide receiver 5. I think the top 4 guys, they just have too freaky of total tools, especially with their size. So Ladd McConkey doesn't have that. But to me, on tape, I think that he's a round one guy. I think that he would have been right there with Jordan Addison and JSN in last year's class in the mix to be the top wide receiver. It's a deep class, so maybe he's a second round pick. We'll see where he ends up there, but do not just put him into that bucket of Wes Welkers and Danny Amendola's. Those guys just do not have the same straight line speed that Ladd McConkey has.
I forgot to mention this, but I do have a major concern about him in contested situations.
Yes.
Like when he does have to fight through contact and adjust to a football in the air, I think the timing is off. I think that his launch point to go up and try to jump into these situations is off too. He kind of looks lost in those situations, to be honest. So like, hopefully he goes to a quarterback that knows when he creates separation, he can throw it to the area of open space rather than under throwing it. Like we kind of saw this year with Georgia at times. And obviously with Stetson Bennett at times too. And again, had some brutal drops, I thought, back in 2022, which also would have accentuated some of his counting stats. But he doesn't have to be great at everything. He can be great at some things and still be super productive. And I would even like him to be that speed, fly, motion guy at times, because we know he has that athleticism. And I don't think Georgia used him enough in that area too.
Yep.
This is LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels.
And we're talking about all-time great production. That's like not even an exaggeration. His EPA per play is the best of all time, talking about the final season among drafted quarterbacks, like going back to at least 2000. His total EPA only trails Joe Burrow, obviously the LSU connection. His rushing EPA only trails Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, and then Malik Willis. So it's a scrambling ability. I thought he was very accurate, but the production you can't argue against. To me, this is a debate. How much can this translate, and why was he so productive? There's two wide receivers that kind of, you know, helped him out.
So we'll have the entire discussion here about Jaden Daniels. Just some simplified stats here. 50 total touchdowns compared to just 4 interceptions in 2023. A simple 3,800 passing yards, 1,100 rushing yards, and 1 Heisman Trophy. As of this recording, we do not have his height and weight. Jaden Daniels elected to not, obviously, compete in the NFL Combine, participate in that, but also in the just measurables aspect of that too. But Hayden, let's first gear this conversation towards where Jaden Daniels succeeds. And obviously that production, there comes with a lot of success on the NFL field.
So I think the biggest thing is just his scramble and broken play ability. It's basically unmatched. I think the closest comparison would be to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has a little bit more size than what Jaden Daniels does, but he had 154 reps last year on either scrambles or on broken plays. He averaged 0.63 EPA, which is basically winning the MVP. And that's on when shit is going bad, and he's still making the best out of it. Now, sometimes at the end of these runs, he gets absolutely demolished. And that's why some people are comparing him to Johnny Knoxville. I think that's going to be the kind of debate here. Yes, when he's scrambling, he's got open field. He is a special, special player. I'm not sure if he has the size to be used in like the quarterback designed run game in like short yarded situations in the red zone, just because he is so skinny. You said that he didn't want to weigh in all throughout. He probably was like 193 pounds, somewhere like that. He's not as stocky as Kyler Murray. He's more like the Bryce Young type of size to me. And that's a little bit scary when you're talking about how much can this production actually translate. But man, his scrambling ability is like truly a special talent. We just have to decide how much of it's going to translate.
Yeah, and I do want to add to that final point that you said, where he cannot take a normal hit. There are times when in some ways he's trying to add extra yards or doesn't slide or doesn't get out of bounds, and that leads to sometimes turnovers or gruesome collisions. It's just car crash after car crash that almost chops him in half, ragdoll effect in many ways. But to that production, he made the best out of an amazing situation. Like, he maximized a tremendous team that LSU had last year. And honestly, that might be underselling it, as you pointed out, a very good offensive line, 2 potential top 20 picks at wide receivers and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. And they built this offense around plays that he was really good at. Mm-hmm. And those numbers speak to themselves. It actually reminded me a lot of watching the Philadelphia Eagles offense, and stay with me with this, because you have 2 premier outside wide receivers in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And when you got isolated coverage, either because of single safety looks or because of pressure looks, he really trusted those guys to win. And he frequently threw down the field because of that. And guess what? Those plays were excellent because the thrower and the wide receiver were fantastic at that. I will add that means there wasn't a ton of middle of the field work, and we'll get into those percentages in a moment. And on top of that, he had just 17% of his passes last season were play action. And if you actually watch the games, about 50% of that 70% was split flow, play action, and just a tight end leaking out into the flat and a little dump off. So all of these under center, deep play action types of constructions that we see at the NFL level leading to explosive plays, it wasn't that. It was more so what the Eagles did last year and almost abandoning the middle of the field. And Hayden, I can't tell if it's because he's not comfortable throwing it there or that's just how the offense was designed. And I think that almost leads to even more questions about the evaluation.
The hard part is he's going to be turning 24 years old this next December. He's been in the college football forever. So the fact that he only threw 22% of his throws over the middle is concerning to me. A lot of this offense, and this is a spread offense, which, like you said, was perfect for the skill set because you have these two guys that can win downfield from the slot to give them lots of wide open windows. But also, if those plays weren't wide open, now all of a sudden those wide receivers are way downfield. Here comes Jaden Daniels running like a madman.
And behind a great offensive line, by the way, that would give him three and a half seconds. So it's almost like, hey, these wide receivers are taking the top off the coverage. And let me vroom, vroom, vroom and pick up 30 yard gains on the ground.
Yes. So what I saw with him is I think he has a good pre-snap understanding of coverages and where he wants to get the ball to. He threw a ton of hitch routes across college football. Most offenses, about 14% of their throws are these hitch routes. His was 23%. So I think pre-snap read, if there was off coverage, he wants you to get the ball to Brian Thomas or Malik Nabers. Sure, he can do that. And then also you see a lot of slot fades. You see go balls, you see posts, you see corners because they have these wide receivers. What you didn't see as much was him going to the second read, the third read, working over the middle. And now we run into the same exact debate. Is he not doing that? Because he knows he can look at his top receiver and then just scramble around and pick up a first down. Or is it because he just doesn't have a good feel for post-snap coverages or wanting to throw the ball over the middle of the field, or he doesn't want to take a hit in the pocket to kind of wait for the backside route to develop? That's going to be the other concern, because I wouldn't blame him if he just said, well, I know when I run, it's going to be a first down. But if that's not going to work in the NFL, now we have this second layer of mystery where can he actually wait for the backside route to develop and throw the ball over the middle? Because right now, that is a question mark, which is crazy because we're talking about one of the most productive players in college football history. But there are like true question marks here.
Yeah, that raw production is amazing. But on top of that, there are underlying metrics that kind of lead to more questions. Nate Tice pointed out that his 14.1% scramble rate ranks third among 196 qualifying quarterbacks since 2019, basically only behind Malik Willis in terms of quarterback prospects.
Which is not good.
Which is not good. There are other aspects of this where only 50.6% of his pressure dropbacks resulted in a pass attempt. Again, that is 193rd out of 196 qualifying quarterbacks. So you and I constantly talk about, hey, what is the makeup of a quarterback when he is pressured? Because that's when, hey, the architecture of an offense doesn't go right. Either the blocking or no one getting open down the field. And so in that moment, it is the quarterback who then elevates everyone. We just talked about his scrambling. I will add, his scrambling constantly comes from climbing the pocket, then almost veering out to the edge of the defense, and then working up the sideline and just running right by everyone. But I guess my biggest concern is that those explosive rushes will be less frequent in the NFL. And that lack of middle of the field work or success, however term you want to do it, or even turning down some of those middle of the field passes becomes accentuated, becomes more prominent in the league. Because again, even just that throwing rate when pressured, it means that he is, again, dropping his eyes and running. And I think that that is far more difficult to be successful in the NFL than it was when he was tremendously successful at the college level.
Now, I still have a first round grade with him because this is the NFL. Quarterbacks is how you take your chances to get into the playoffs. He's my quarterback 4. But the reason why I still have him in this kind of early round 1 tier is it's obviously because of this athletic ability. But also as a passer, I was shocked at how accurate he was.
He was consistent with that motion too.
It is a beautiful, beautiful stroke. He actually led the class in catchable ball rate on these throws, 15 plus air yards downfield without pressure, where you're just your mechanics, how accurate you are. By far the number one in the class, basically as good as what CJ Stroud was last year. I think that he can actually throw with nice loft on these slot fades, these corner routes.
He throws a mean slot fade. I mean, his best throw or the best throw of any quarterback in this class is him on slot fades to Brian Thomas and especially Malik Nabers. Just go back and watch. I think it was that Ole Miss game. They had like four or five touchdowns just on slot fades.
Yeah, and that's what makes this hard, because that slot fade and then also the scramble ability, why would you mess around with these other concepts if those are working so well? So like that's the hard part. So I don't want to say he for sure can't do these things we're talking about. We just haven't seen that, and that brings on some of the risk here on top of just being able to survive in the NFL at 195-ish pounds. But I did just want to say, as a passer, I think his accuracy could be the saving grace to this kind of up and down profile.
Yeah, super consistent motion like you're talking about, and that leads to tremendous accuracy. Mm-hmm. He is obviously athletic, obviously. I do think athleticism comes in different forms and factors when we look at college quarterbacks, right? His straight line scrambling when he gets an alleyway, exceptional stuff. But I can't say that I sat here and saw small, compact movements to work within the constraints of the tackle to tackle, to find those pockets of space to then deliver a football. You know, that athleticism, that mobility didn't necessarily pop up as a passer as much as it did as a pure runner. Would you say the same thing?
Yeah, it's kind of almost like the opposite of what Bryce Young did last year, where he was athletic, but he was athletic maneuvering the pocket and then trying to throw the ball. The second Jaden Daniels felt it, he would just take off and run. And that's where his athleticism would kind of show up.
And I want to go back to that Ole Miss game, because Colt McCoy and I broke it down, where there was one play where he took off for an 8-yard gain on like 3rd and 6. So it was definitely a first down. But then on this end cut, that was either his second or his third read. Who knows? We're not in the room. He turns that down, and that would have been a 25 plus yard gain. Later on in that same Ole Miss contest, he went back and hit a similar dig or in breaking pattern. If you have stuck with us on the channel for this long, you know that in some ways that is similar to Anthony Richardson last year, who would almost learn on the fly of, oh, this was open the first half, I turned it down, but I'm going to hit it in the second half. The difference with that is Jaden Daniels has played 5 seasons of college football, and Anthony Richardson had barely played at all until coming out of Florida and entering the NFL draft. So again, we have someone that has 5 years of playing experience. We are still not seeing necessarily these subtle movements or going from 1 to 2 to 3 in the confines of the pocket, but at the same time, still having that pure athleticism that creates these explosive gains that we rarely see with a quarterback's legs at the college level.
I'm also going to be curious to see what style offensive coordinator is appealing for this Jaden Daniels type of offense. I think that the spread offense that Brian Kelly developed was perfect. I think that you're going to want some downfield shots because he can sling the ball like we're talking about. It also will help him out with his rushing ability. This Shanahan tree that keeps growing and growing and growing, I'm not sure if he's going to be the greatest fit for that specific scheme as well. So I think that's going to be the other thing, is not every single team is going to love Jaden Daniels. And I think that's where you're going to see these kind of evaluations going all over the place. So for me, if I'm just taking this from a bird's eye view, I would still take him the early round one grade. I don't think that he's as good as Drake May. I actually have J.J. McCarthy ranked higher than him as well. I appreciate Jaden Daniels' game. I think that he can pass the ball better than some people want to give him credit for. Totally. But I do think that there are question marks in this profile, but at the end of the day, I want the athletic quarterbacks in the NFL. That's just where we're going.
And just lumping some athletic quarterbacks together, I know a lot of people were wary of Anthony Richardson last year versus Jaden Daniels this year. You all might think I'm crazy for saying this. I would have rather stuck with Anthony Richardson, and I would have ranked him higher in a 2-year sample than Jaden Daniels this season as well. But again, I don't want to gloss over the fact that it's consistent, accurate throwing motion, deep downfield passes. Like, let's say Jalen Hurts did not exist, and again, this Eagles offensive infrastructure was there, you could place him in that and you would see a super explosive offense, in my opinion. And it fits that almost exactly. But remember how let's say the Eagles offense kind of fizzled out last year, and who knows if it's the quarterback or the play calling and not attacking the middle of the field, but at times they're connected. I think the same issues could pop up here with Jaden Daniels as well.
And if you're playing fantasy football dynasty, a lot of these issues that we have with Jaden Daniels, they don't really translate to the fantasy stuff. You could refresh the box where he'll average 60, 70 rushing yards per game, and you'll live with any of the negatives if they do come up.
Yeah. And again, we have no height and no weight. The man does not get hit normally at all. Crash chest dummy at times, but that is something that we have seen quarterbacks learn in the NFL as well. Okay. This is North Carolina quarterback Drake May.
And he happened to lead all of college football in EPA as a sophomore in that air raid offense with Phil Longo. Last season, though, took a step back, only 78th percentile QBR, 48th percentile passing EPA, still 93rd percentile rushing EPA. The system around him was not very good. We had wide receiver, I think play calling and offensive line issues. So you can kind of take this. You can see some plays where it was bad, bad decision making, bad accuracy. You can also point to the good stuff and you can kind of paint your own picture here. So I think that's going to be the difficult part for Drake May. But I think what I keep coming back to, he's only 21 and a half years old, and we're not drafting players based off of how they looked in college. We're trying to draft these players for what they're going to look like in 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now.
Lots to unpack there. This is going to be an awesome conversation. Just quickly, some numbers that matter. Drake May is 6'4", 223 pounds, over 9-inch hands. 2 years as a starter after sitting as a true freshman behind Sam Howell. He played the entire season, his third, at 21 years of age. And this year, 3,600 passing yards in 12 games, 33 total touchdowns compared to 9 interceptions. Hayden, where does he succeed? Because to me, it's kind of simple checking of boxes. He's big, he's athletic, and he has a live arm even when off balance and moving inside the pocket.
So some comps, I like the young version of Josh Allen. I think Deshaun Watson and Jordan Love are also kind of comparable. I think his number one trait and the one that's going to succeed and translate immediately is he is an excellent scrambler.
Yeah.
Number one and number four in first downs on scrambles in the last 2 years in college football. He had a 52% first down rate on his scrambles, which was the second best. So when he is deciding to scrambling, it's to work. He's not using this as a crutch. When he's scrambling, it is working. That's because he has size and speed and also the instincts to kind of take some hits as well.
Yeah. Second in college football EPA with his scrambles last season. And it's funny because at the top of this draft or with other quarterbacks in the last few years, you see amazing athletes. I think because of that, Drake May's athleticism is almost being overlooked. His dad was a quarterback. His brothers were fantastic college basketball players. He probably has like sisters and cousins who are also amazing athletes, right. But you really do see it show up. And it's because Hayden, it's the environment that he played in. Like too often to me at North Carolina in 2023, there was nothing on paper in the progression of the offense. And so he had to create on his own with his athleticism. And he definitely has power and strength to work through arm tackles, which gains that extra 1 or 2 or 3 hidden yards to create that first down or get it to the end zone.
He's also going to be used in quarterback power, zone read, in tight situations, in the red zone, and short yardage. I think that you can get the quarterback designed stuff as well. In addition to just the scrambling, he also makes plays outside the pocket. There was this one play where he had to go to his left, and he just, with his left hand, kind of just grenade tosses it in for a touchdown. You're going to see those type of plays. He can throw the ball to his left and to his right on the run because he is so strong. Most quarterbacks, when they're running to their left, it's harder for them to throw across their body. Drake May can do all that stuff. Oh, and then in addition, his strength obviously translates. When you're talking about just his arm strength, we can get to the accuracy. I think that's a separate discussion. But he can throw the ball way down the field with plenty of loft in tight spaces. He can throw the ball with plenty of velocity. So I think that he's not quite to the athletic ability of Josh Allen, but it's like directionally accurate. I think that Josh Allen just like a more physically gifted than Drake May, but we're not talking about that drastic of a player. And some of those crazy bad plays we saw with Josh Allen earlier in your career, you do see some of those on occasion for Drake May, but it really comes down to we're talking about a very inexperienced quarterback, and you can see how in a couple years this thing could look pretty sweet.
In full disclosure, I and Colt McCoy were able to sit down with Drake May at the Super Bowl and watch one of his games. It was against Syracuse, and see him go through his pre-snap and post-snap process. So again, I just want to put that on the table. You can all go watch it on Twitter if you want to. With that said, we got a keyhole into some things that other people might not. He does a great job to me of recognizing heat and blitz and pressure looks and shifts or drifts in the pocket or from his tight end to tackle or tackle to tackle accordingly. Like, again, he understands that, hey, if I have a free rusher on this side, I can buy an extra 0.25 seconds if I just slowly drift and take a big hit while I'm releasing. I've seen that viewed as a negative sometimes, his drifting and movement in the pocket. I see it as a positive. On top of, he was asked to call and make the protections at the line of scrimmage, something that doesn't often happen at the college level, and he is already doing it here at age 21.
I saw the good reps and I saw the bad reps, so I think it's kind of this discussion where you can paint it into either side. There's a corner blitz where he noticed it post-snap and went over to the backside and, like you said, slid over there and made a nice pass. See those plays. But he also, I thought, took some bad sacks. In fact, according to PFF, 26% of the responsibility for the pressure fell on Drake May. That was seventh worst out of the 71 Power 5 quarterbacks last year. His EPA lost on sacks was also in the bottom 25th percentile among drafted quarterbacks. Now, a lot of that is offensive line, wide receiver, those type of things.
Can I bring up a number just to outline the environment that he's in? Last season, again, in 12 games, Drake May had 76 dropbacks on third and seven plus situations. By comparison, Jaden Daniels, who might be his competition for the second or third or fourth overall picks, faced third and seven plus on just 39 dropbacks. That was the lowest by any quarterback in college football last year, or I should say any quarterback in this draft class. Caleb Williams, JJ McCarthy were at 58. So again, that's an extra 18 dropbacks in situations on third and seven plus. And that's not even including third and 11 plus situations where, if you just want to put it simply, your offense lost yardage on first and second down. It was worse than could possibly be. He had 36 of those. So at least three in 12 games. Like, that is, again, some of that's going to be his fault. And we'll get into those moments where maybe he wasn't as successful as he should have been on first and second down. But it also speaks to the offense, his teammates, offensive line, wide receivers, so on and so forth. I would say that this is the worst situation of the quarterbacks that are being mentioned at the top of the draft.
Completely agree. I think people point to one of his wide receivers coming back and they think that he's like some like great wide receiver prospect. I've watched him. I think there's a chance he goes like fourth, fifth round here.
The bigger issue was Josh Downs leaving for the NFL and not having Josh Downs as like that comfort blanket from 2022 to 2023.
And even Josh Downs was a third round pick. So like, it's like, we're talking about very bottom of the barrel type of environment. I think that some of these EPA and these the sack stats that I'm bringing up, I think with more experience, he'll have a better understanding of when to get the ball out a little bit earlier. Like, he's not going to be in these really bad situations where he's trying to make a play out of nothing. So I think over time, when I'm trying to project forward, I see too many good reps of him navigating the pocket and making quick decisions where I think that he will become more consistent in that phase. And then all of a sudden you're talking about a great scrambler, a great athlete with plenty of arm strength. So I think that he has to improve a little bit on that, which is totally fine. I'm 21 years old. I think the second thing he has to improve on is, to me, it's the accuracy. And I've seen some fantastic throws, but I also see that he can spray the ball a little bit. And when I'm watching him in the pocket, even in clean pockets, I think he has a tendency to kind of click his feet together. He kind of bobs up and down in the pocket a little bit too much, which is he's trying to make a play, certainly. But I think over time, that's a very fixable issue. And I think that it wasn't even that bad. But I think you can kind of see it with like the Anthony Richardson stuff with Josh Allen. I think these guys that are freak athletes that didn't have to rely about being in the pocket consistently, they can make some strides in that specific area, and I'm willing to make that bet. So I still, even with these negatives here, he's clearly my quarterback too. I don't have him with that like first overall grade. It's like one tier underneath that. I think he's actually very similar to Anthony Richardson as a prospect, which kind of goes back to the beginning part of the show. If you loved Anthony Richardson, you're going to love Drake May. If you hated Anthony Richardson, you're going to hate Drake May because they have a very similar profile. But to me, I want to bet on the traits, and I want to bet on what these quarterbacks are going to look like in 2, 3, 4 years from now.
We're in a golden age of football content right now, especially on YouTube. And that comes with a lot of former NFL quarterbacks having their own channels or posting their own videos. I'm not going to bunch them all together or lump them all together, but it does seem like that in some ways they are lower on Drake May. If we're talking about the JT O'Sullivans, the Chris Sims, the Kurt Warners of the world, I can keep listing more. And I think it comes back to those mechanics issues, maybe the unfluid motion, the toe tapping, the stiff front leg. Look, I am not a NFL position coach at all. And I'm sure that a lot of those do lead to inaccuracies. But what I can highlight is that he just wrapped up his second season starting in college football, right? The other quarterbacks, or many of the other quarterbacks in this draft class, we're talking about Michael Penix, starred for 5 years. We're talking about Jaden Daniels, played for 5 years. We're talking about Bo Nix, played for 5 years. If we just go and look back at the stats that those guys accumulated in, let's even say their first or second season starting in college football, it's a no contest from what we talked about and saw from Drake May in his first two seasons starting college football, yep, versus what, again, the Daniels, the Bo Nixes, the Michael Penixes did really at the end of their career in their fifth year of starting. That is the big question here. Do you think that Drake May, with more playing experience, with more mental maturity, with more physical maturity, with more moments and opportunities of seeing different coverage looks or protection looks or pressure looks, is going to be able, 3 seasons from now in playing, get to the point where inaccuracy issues don't pop up with the Bo Nixes or the Jaden Daniels of the world? Are some of these things that, you know, Drake May is doing right now, can you fix them like we have seen these other guys fix them? And again, that is probably the number one sticking point that people have in their evaluations here. And I'm on the side where I do believe with more playing time, with more coaching, with more experience, the checklist that we talked about at the top is going to round out and deform. And even if it doesn't, you basically have to, in my opinion, maybe have like Drake May turn into one of the least accurate passers in the NFL in order for him to fail, right? Mm-hmm. Because the tools and the traits might compensate for some of the other weaknesses that he does have in his game right now at 21 years of age.
I think my favorite comp for him right now is Jordan Love, who took some time to develop, was not the perfect prospect by any means, but had all of the traits that you're looking for. Maybe Drake May needs to sit for a month or two, get his feet kind of figured out, and then all of a sudden let him go. A couple other stats that I came across for him. At least 10% of his passes were on digs or crossing routes over the middle of the field, which is actually a lot compared to like the college football average. He can throw the ball over the middle, which might mean that he is open to this Shanahan tree that we're talking about. That's particular very high up in the draft. Maybe the Commanders, the Vikings, I think he'd be a fit in all those offenses. And then the other thing that's crazy here is only 4 of his touchdowns last year came on throws under 10 yards in the air. He didn't have any of the layup drills. Now, I think it's kind of twofold. Number one, he loves to send it deep because he's great. He's got great arm strength. So he wants to throw the ball down the field. But also, I do think that he needs to develop a little bit more because on these like timing routes, slants, in-breaking routes, those type of things, he had the worst points earned of all the quarterbacks. Obviously, it goes back to the environment, but I think it just comes down to...
And the structure.
Right. He just needs more time to develop. Yeah. And that's totally fine. So I think ultimately when you're talking about the other quarterback evaluators, they're worried about the accuracy and the footwork. To me, they're true. Those are
we're not sitting here and saying that he doesn't spray passes wildly at times. He definitely does.
But it's fixable to me with time. And he's not going to win the Super Bowl in his first year, but I think that he has the traits to go be an NFL playoff type of quarterback in the top 10 discussion. Those guys are very hard to find. And ultimately most Power 5 guys with the production that he had as a sophomore that are only 21 years old with his size and athletic ability, these guys are the types to go very high in the draft. So I think he's got a little bit of boom-bust potential in his profile, but I think that he ultimately will get this thing figured out. So very bullish on Drake May in general.
Yeah, so one final point on that. What would he look like with 3 more years of playing college football? Would it be like Bo Nix, who went from 12 touchdowns and 7 interceptions to 45 touchdowns and 3 interceptions? Right. Would it be like Jaden Daniels, who went from 10 touchdowns and 10 interceptions to 40 touchdowns and 4 interceptions? Mm-hmm. You know, like we're getting to see the best of the guys who played 5 years in college football. Yep. And obviously they had warts 2 years as a starter in college football. And we're seeing and have to highlight the warts of Drake May after 2 years of playing college football.
And that was in two different systems, too. The offensive coordinator changed, too. So we went from this air raid offense to an offense that, to me, lacked a lot of identity. So that was another problem.
Your point of I think he does have, and the mechanic stuff does pop up when throwing to his left. But I even just look back at, like, the quarterbacks who failed in the first round in recent years. Like, Kenny Pickett failed in the first round because he was mainly an out-of-structure quarterback in ways and obviously was limited in a bunch of his traits and his tools. Zach Wilson had throwing highways at BYU, and once he got to the league and there were pressure and different looks when it comes to getting heat, he definitely could not handle that. Trey Lance, only a certain amount of dropbacks. Drake May has even more dropbacks on top of that. We can keep going on and on the list. Yep. Drake May isn't going to fail for the reasons that a lot of the first round picks have failed in recent years. All right. Did we cover it all, Hayden? I mean, there is so this is a fascinating conversation. I could see Drake May being the quarterback 2 in this class.
Yes.
I could see him being the quarterback 4 in this class. And so if you are watching this during NFL draft weekend, you know the answers before we do. But most importantly, you need to hit that subscribe button. You need to leave a thumbs up. You need to watch all the other draft profiles that we have here on the channel. We go through all the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. So don't leave and check out the next video.